Amen. You just were singing that you worship His holy name. And I was thinking about, you know, when we worship God, He is holy. And in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah is describing God, when he's having that encounter with God, not only does he say holy once, but he says it three times. He says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And so when Isaiah was in his presence in chapter 6, that's what he saw. A God that is holy, holy, holy. That's part of who God is. God's a holy God. And he's a good God. I think the very first song, or one of the first songs, first or second song, we sang that God is so good. God, you're so good. And I know a lot of us, actually probably all of us, are in certain different situations to where, you know, we're just experiencing different things. But God is still so good. In the midst of our situation, God is so good. And we said that several times during that song. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. And, you know, we need some of that. You didn't see that in the Lancaster newspaper this week. God, you're so good as headlines. That's not, and you won't see it this week either. But the reality of it is, God is still so good. No matter what the newspaper says, God is so good. And he's going to be good this week as well. And so let's do, I'm talking to myself here, do a better job of just proclaiming that. God, you're good. God, you're so good. He's so good to us. And the other song that you led, and so thank you, PJ, for leading us, and Matt and Darlene, was Open the Eyes of Our Heart. You know, that's a great request, to ask God to do that, because God can do that. If you ask God to really open the eyes of your heart, for understanding, for truth, he's the one that can answer that prayer. He really can. So, bless you. Just the words that you spoke and just connecting with God here this morning. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit, and just connection with God and how we, how Abraham, we're going to look at Abraham again a little bit more today, and just the connecting part, the connection he had with God. But before we get there, we're going to do the offering. The offering this morning is for the general fund. So Daniel, if you want to get the offering basket, Daniel, Miguel, we'll have a word of prayer for that. And then we have several announcements before we get into the message this morning. So the offering is for the general fund this morning. So let's have a word of prayer for that. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are so good. Father, you're good. You're so good. And Lord, you're holy. Isaiah said it three times in chapter 6. Holy, holy, holy are you, God. And so, Father, we say that this morning again. And we just recognize that you're a holy God. And we worship you this morning. And Father, I just want to say thank you for the way that you blessed us. And as we give this morning, I pray a blessing on the gift and on the giver. Father, that the monies that get put into this offering this morning could be used for your glory. That's what we want to do. We want to live, we not only want to live our lives, but we want to use our resources for your glory. So I pray a blessing on the offering this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the offering is for the general fund this morning. So thank you, Daniel and Miguel. I have a couple announcements here as that goes around. Wednesday evening. This Wednesday evening is the ladies' evening. I'm sure some of you, or hopefully all of you, saw that. And I know some of you are planning to participate in that. So that's this Wednesday evening. And Jen had posted probably about 2 days ago about connection evenings that we want to start and doing it in January, February, and March as a church. We're calling it connection evenings. And that is the appropriate name. That's the goal. And so we want to split up into three different groups for those of you that want to participate in it. And we're going to have pizza and game nights at three different houses. And so when you make sure you let my wife know that you want to participate. And when if you decide to participate, we'll put you in the list of people. And then the next 3 months, one night a month, we're going to rotate you. So therefore, you get to be with not just the same people the next 3 months, but you get to interact, play games, have pizza or food, whatever you decide, with those people. So make sure you respond to my wife's message, because we do want to get that, make that happen. So any questions about that? We don't know that yet. First of all, we want to find out who it's going to be, and then we need to find three hosts to host it. We'll host the one, so we're going to have two other hosts, and then it may not even all be the same night. It's going to be up to the host, probably, on how that works. But great question. Any other questions? All right. And before I start the message here this morning, we want to have a special prayer for Barb. It's been great having you here for 2 weeks, right? And Barb is planning to fly back to Haiti tomorrow morning at 6:30 out of Philly, right? But it's bittersweet for Barb. For those of you that know her story, know where she lives down there, she really missed her girls while she was here for 2 weeks. But going back is, she also knows the loneliness that she's going back to, being there just with a few people, right? So we want to have a blessing, just a prayer of blessing for you, Barb. And so I'm going to open it up, and I want just some ladies to pray from right where you're at for Barb, and then I'll close for her as she goes back. But I want to publicly bless you, Barb, because I know the impact you're having in Haiti with the girls there, especially that, and even the boys that you had in your community, even though you haven't been gone far lately. At least that's what you said. So I just want to bless you with courage and strength, and knowing that what you're doing is making a difference. I'm convinced. So I want to bless you and honor you. So we're going to have a word of blessing and prayer for Barb as she leaves tomorrow morning. So Elmina, would you just want to start? And then if there's several other ladies just want to pray for Barb, go for it. This is going to be your time, and then I'll wrap it up. So go ahead.
Thank you.
Father, I want to thank you this morning that as our Father and as God, you have plans and purposes for each one of us in here this morning. And Father, they're not all the same. You call us to different places. You have different purposes. You have different plans for us. And Father, this morning, I pray specifically for Barb. I want to say thank you for Barb. Thank you for the calling you have on her life. Thank you for her obedience that she is living out in going to Haiti and just being such a influence, a good influence there with the children in Haiti. And not only with the children, but the other people that she comes in contact with. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing on her. I pray a protection on her. And Father, just give her that joy and be the source of strength for her. And so, Lord, as she goes back, I pray, Father, that you would bless her emotionally, physically, spiritually. And Father, you would give her the courage and that she could be all that you intended for her to be. So I just want to say thank you for Barb. Bless Barb as she goes back tomorrow morning. And Father, for each one of us as well, Lord, I know that you have callings for us, and I pray, Lord, that we could walk in those as well. The things you have planned for us, we would do. And we look at the story of Abraham, looking at Abraham this morning and seeing how you directed Abraham in so many ways. Lord, I pray that we would be like that as well, that you could guide us and direct us in your plans and purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Bless you, Barb. Thank you. It was great having you here for 2 weeks, having you home for 2 weeks. So hopefully everything goes well. But as a church as well, we have a responsibility and an opportunity to support Barb through prayer, through texts and stuff like that, that we can make her life just more enjoyable. We can encourage her. And I think we all probably all know how well it feels when someone encourages you. And so we can do that as a church. I want to start with a question this morning. And that question is, how well do you know God? How well do you know God? How's your relationship with God? And I'm going to answer it this morning because I can answer it. Sometimes I ask questions I have no idea how I could answer it, but for you. But for this one here, I can answer it for you. You know God, and your relationship with God is as good as you make it. James chapter 4, verse 8, he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I look at that verse, the first part is our responsibility. As we draw nigh to God, he's going to draw nigh to us. And so you are as close to God as you choose to be. It's not as much as you want to be, but as you choose to be. As you draw nigh, the closer you get to God, the closer he's going to be to you. So how well do you know God? Do you know him as well as you want to? Reading through Genesis the last several days, weeks, has been very good. And I know for us as a church, I don't know if you guys are reading through the Bible, the thing that Seth is doing, but I would encourage you to. Let's do it. I know the Bible looks pretty big, but you know how you get big things done? How you get through it is going by one page at a time. And we're almost at the end of Genesis if you're reading through it. And obviously we're in Psalms a little bit too. So I'm going to encourage you to let's do it as a church. Let's read through the whole Bible this year. But just reading through, starting in Genesis, I was looking at the life of Abraham. And Mike, you did a really good job this morning on talking about Noah, talking about Abraham and the relationship, and just hearing from God. We're going to talk about that some this morning. But specifically, I'm going to talk some about Abraham this morning. In the beginning, they just called him Abram. It was his name. And he lived in Ur. Mike talked about that a little bit as well. And Ur was a great city. Ur was one of the greatest cities in that ancient time. And it was estimated that was about 25,000 people lived inside the city walls. And in the surrounding areas, they estimate around 200,000 people in the outlying areas of Ur. And in the northwest part of the city was the moon god that they called Nana. And you had referred to that some of Abraham's uncle building statues. And if you look at Joshua, actually, I'm going to turn to that. Joshua 24 talks about that. I'm going to read that just to verify that. Joshua 24, verses 1 through 3 says this. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. He called for the leaders of Israel, for their heads and their judges and their officers. They presented them before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in the old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac." So there it says that they served other gods. This was Abraham's ancestors. And so I just want to affirm what Mike talked about this morning of, you know, a little bit of the situation that Abram was in when before God called him in chapter 12. And Ur was obviously, it says it had very rich soil. It produced lots of food, and Ur was very prosperous. Now, Genesis chapter 12, and Mike read out of this a little bit this morning, but I want to get another point here. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 12. So we have Abram being a wealthy man. In chapter 13, verse 2, it said, Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So Abram was a wealthy man, very wealthy man in this cool city. I agree with you. There was probably just a lot of good things going for him, a lot of people. But Abram was very wealthy. But back in chapter 12, it said the Lord came to Abram and he said, "Get out of your country and from your family to your father's house." Now, what is the first step here that Abram did in obeying God? What is step number one? If I would ask you, do you want to obey God? We'd probably all raise your hands, right? How about, do you want to hear God's voice? We'd probably all raise their hands. Abraham did both. So how did he do it? How did he hear from God? How did Abraham know it was God? Do you think without a relationship with God, Abram would have heard God? No. So looking at Abram's life here, I see step number one as Abram having a relationship with God, a connection with God. And there was all throughout Scripture, especially in Genesis, all through a lot of Genesis, talks about Abram hearing God's voice. Did you pick that up? Maybe you didn't. I did. It's just time and time again, Abram heard the Lord. And the Lord said. There was this connection between Abram and God. This communication that was time and time and time again. And you take away the relationship, I don't think Abram would have heard. And so my question is to myself and to yourself, how well do we hear? How is our relationship with God? And again, it's as good as we choose it to be. And so we see that obviously Abram had a relationship with God because the Lord spoke. And then he says in verse 1, he says, "Get out of your country." So the next step he says, he not only does he speak, but he says, "Leave your country." And he did. But first of all, he said, "Leave your country," even before he told him where he's going to go. And I look at this, and there's oftentimes we seek God for direction. God, what do you want me to do? But we don't want to leave the things that God says to leave. Sometimes I believe God says, you need to leave this thing. Let that thing go, and I'll give you more direction. That's what he did with Abram. First of all, he had to leave the things. Sometimes it's difficult for us to leave, but I think it's important. Things that we're attached to, things that we're comfortable with, in this case, it was leaving his family. He had to leave an awful lot of things. Probably his identity. Things that consume us. The call of God, sometimes he says we need to leave things. That's what happened with Abraham. Leave. And then he says, verse 2, then I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And he goes on to say what he's supposed to do. And then, like Mike talked about this morning, is he departed. He was obedient. He didn't mess around. Abram obeyed what God said. And obedience is so important in the kingdom of God. When God says something to you, obedience is important. I believe if Abraham would have not obeyed here, it's very possible a lot of the other stories in Genesis that we have about Abram doing this and this and this and God telling him to do would have stopped. Because I believe the moment we choose to disobey God, he'll stop revealing his will for our lives. I believe that's what would have happened here. If Abram would have said, no, I'm not going to go, there's a lot of other things through the story of Genesis I don't think we'd have. Because God kept revealing things to Abram. He kept hearing and he kept obeying. Obedience and obviously faith. He had lots of faith. Abram had lots of faith. We're not going to talk about that much this morning. But it takes faith to take that next step. Verse 4, Abraham departed. And then just it's just all over. In Genesis chapter 13, 14, okay, it says, and the Lord said to Abraham, I just want you to get some of this out there. The Lord was speaking to Abraham again. Chapter 15, 1 through 6, the Lord spoke to Abraham again. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, and he shared with him again. Chapter 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I'm Almighty God. Genesis 18 is when the three angels come to his house and they speak to him again. So we just have chapter time and time and time again in this book that God is connecting with Abram. And I'm like, this connection is amazing. Because Abram did so much, but he had a connection with God. And so that is what I want us to get here this morning is the connection with God is so important for us. Because Abram had it. And obviously, obedience as well. Genesis 22 is just an amazing story when God asked him to take his son Isaac. That, to me, would be very difficult. I mean, I would really ask God, are you sure you want me to do this? My son, my only son, you want me to actually take him and sacrifice him? But his relationship with God was so good. He knew what God is asking of him. He knew it. When God spoke, he knew it was God speaking. And that's a good relationship. In Genesis 18, I'm going to look at that just a little bit. This is when the three angels came and spoke to him and said they're going to have a baby. And he, you know, didn't really believe it right away. Sarah laughed. Then in verse 14, I just want to look at this. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, if you want to read the story, read this chapter. I'm not going to get into the story. But I do want to get into this in verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Verse 14, look at this question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything too hard for the Lord? They came and they told Abram, you're going to have a son. Him and Sarah. Sarah laughed. He didn't believe it. And they asked him, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I'd like to ask you that question and myself that question as well. Is there something in your life right now that you think is too hard for the Lord? A lot of us face different things, different angles, different ways. And from our perspective, there are some difficult things. But is there anything in your life that you think is too hard for the Lord? And I'm here to tell you this morning, there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. I thought that question is amazing when I looked at that. But that's our God. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him. Share it with him. Have him help you walk through it. In chapter, then in verse 20 to 33, in Genesis 18, is when the Lord said, because of the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah, God has this conversation. Again, if you want to read the story, go and read it. But God's having this conversation between God and Abraham, and they're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, and they go back and forth. God's like, you know, I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham's like, well, you know, are you sure? Even if there's so many righteous people, and they keep having this dialogue. And I'm like, you know, this is amazing. Here's Abraham just having this dialogue with God, and it's recorded. We can just communicate with God like that. We tend to put God in a box, so we only talk to him when we pray or when we read his word or something like that. But God wants this dialogue all throughout the day of just back and forth, back and forth. And that's what I see Abram doing here in these verses. And I like what he just asked. He asked God some things. Like, he questions God. Like, he takes it, you know, if there's 50 righteous people, and then 40, and then 30, he keeps questioning God. And sometimes we tend to not want to ask God anything because he's God. But Abram did. We can ask God anything. Just ask him. Have that relationship with God. In Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, is the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read those verses. We're going to we'll wrap it up here with this. But let me get back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. Jesus says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened to you. Three things here, and we probably all know these verses. Ask, seek, knock, right? We learned it in Sunday school growing up. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you're going to find. Knock and it's going to be opened to you. But sometimes it doesn't work. Like, we ask for things, and we don't get it. What's the problem? Because sometimes we ask, and then we ask, and then we ask again. We don't go through the proper steps. Let's look at this a little bit. Jesus says, ask. First, step number one is ask. There are three steps here we're going to look at. First one is ask. That's the prayer part. This is taking our requests and our needs and presenting them to God. We're asking them, asking God. You know, just like we talk to our spouse, our friends about things, let's talk to God about it. Let's ask God about this. Ask God what's on your heart, what's on your mind. Share it with him. Then step number two is seek. Okay? Seeking is when you look around for how God might be answering your prayers. Okay? First of all, you ask. And then the next step is to seek. So you start looking, how might God answer my prayers? After you ask is the seeking part. You take a next step of faith, and you start looking around in faith, seeking how God might answer your prayer. Step number three, ask again. No, it says knock. Now, knocking is a physical action. When we step out and you start pursuing and you actually do something about it, is what I see knocking to be. Start pursuing the opportunities that were brought to you during the seeking phase. There's three steps. But either sometimes the door doesn't open, right? The first time. Sometimes you have to keep knocking 5 times, sometimes 10 times, sometimes more. And oftentimes our knocking, for me anyway, the knocking part is the most difficult when you're knocking. But we need to be persistent. We need to not give up. But I just studying this, Jesus says to ask and then seek and then knock. Not ask, ask, ask. Not ask, seek, ask. You ask for it, you ask God, and then you seek God and look around, how might God be answering this prayer? And then you knock, you take physical action, and you start stepping outside, and that creates movement. And I believe that's how God can work through that. Just in wrapping up here, the point that I want to get across here this morning is Abraham's connection with God. And the connection that I want each one of us to have with God. Remembering that as we draw nigh to God, he's going to draw closer to us. As we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. And I look at the life of Abraham and how much God directed his life. A lot of it, most of it, the foundation part of it, comes down to having a relationship with God. And that's what Abraham had. And he was obedient and he walked in faith. And so as we go from here, let's have a connection with God. Let's take it to the new level, to the next level, and to the next level of connecting with God. Let's not just stop with the asking part. Let's ask and then let's seek. And let's knock. And then the door will be open to you, is what this scripture says. Abraham's, the connection with God didn't just happen. It was intentional. And that's what it's going to be for us as well. The families we were born in, the heritage we have, is a lot of us are blessed tremendously with our heritage and with our families. But that doesn't automatically give us a relationship with God. A connection with God has to be intentional. Personal intentionality that you connect with God. So let's do it. There's a prayer that I started praying and just trying to find the will of God. You know, we want to be in the will of God. We want to be where God wants us to be. And I started praying this. I'm trying to pray this every day. Is Lord, open the doors that no man can shut, and shut the doors that no man can open until I'm in your perfect will. That's a prayer for my life. God, open the doors that no man can shut. Shut the doors that no man can open until I'm in your perfect will. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Make your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 5:23. Thank you so much for coming. We're going to wrap this up in prayer. Let's have a good connection and with God, like Abraham did. Let's hear from God. Let's be obedient. Let's walk in faith. Let's ask. Let's seek. And let's knock. Bless you guys this week. Father, thank you so much for this moment. Lord, I want to thank you for the way you're working in each one of our lives this morning. We know that you're God. We know that you're good. And Father, we were looking at Abraham, and I just see how you just led Abraham so in so many different ways. You talked to Abraham. And Lord, I'm asking this morning, each one of us here this morning, that we would have a relationship that we can just talk to you and connect with you in ways like we never have before. Because Father, we want direction. We want input into our lives. We want to be who you intended us to be. And the best way to do that and find that is going to be to hear that from you. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to us. And we would hear from you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for each person that's here. Lord, thank you that you as our Father want a relationship with us. Thank you for making it possible through the Holy Spirit that we can connect with you. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. And this week, you're going to be so good again. So we bless you, Lord. And thank you. And I pray a blessing on each person that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming, each one of you. Bless you for being here. Have a great week. God is good, and he's going to be good. Let's have a good connection with God this week. Bless you.